I want to talk to you about something. I don't know that I've ever taken it from this particular angle before, but I believe today that God has laid something on my heart, and I believe that we're going to glean something from this today. And Jan, I told you wrong on that. It's you can, not I can, but you can. When I began to think about what I was going to be preaching here this morning, I believe that God has begun to deal with my own heart and about things that I too have experienced, things that I personally have lived through. I typically never bring anything to this pulpit that I have not experienced in some way, shape, form, or fashion. To be able to talk about the topics and the things that we bring before you today. So in the book of Philippians, chapter number 4, verse number 10, I want to just pick up reading there. And again, this is the end of this particular chapter where Paul again was writing to the church there at Philippi. And I don't have time to go through every bit of it, but there is a portion of this that I want to encourage you the way Paul was encouraging them. I don't know who you are in the room today, but I have found out that everybody at some time in their life, they need encouragement. Encouragement is a powerful tool in the life of a defeated person. When you can encourage someone along life's journey to stay in the fight, to continue in the battle, if you will. And I'll be preaching part of this tonight and part of it this morning. But this morning, I want to draw your attention to verse 10 of Philippians chapter number 4, where Paul was writing, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were so careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak of respect of want," Paul says, "for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, wherewith or therewith to be content." Paul says in verse number 12, he says, "I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." And that's pretty well self-explanatory of the life that we live in today. Some days you feel like you're on top of the world, and other days you feel like the world is on top of you. Some days you feel like you got the tiger by the tail, and other days you feel the tiger's got a hold of you. Life is filled with ups and downs. Life is filled with joy, and life is filled with discouragement. Life is life. But Paul gives us words of instruction where he looks at his life through the eyes of the Spirit. If you and I had to look through at our lives oftentimes through the eyes of the flesh, we wouldn't even crawl out of bed of the morning. But Paul comes back with such encouraging words in verse 13. And Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Let's read that together. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, we have well done that we did communicate with all affliction. When Paul began to write these particular verses of Scripture, I have no doubt in my mind that Paul looked back over his life. If you really survey the life of Paul the Apostle, and this is me, Paul probably had just as many bad days as he did good days, by virtue of him writing to the Corinthian church and says, I know what it's to be like and to be beaten by my own countrymen. I know what it's like to be defeated. I know what it's like to be beaten with stripes. I know what it's like to be held before the council. I know what it's like to be going through some bad days. But yet, the Apostle Paul, he kept his eyes on the victory. I believe that Paul kept his eyes on the greater vision of what God had for his life. When I read, I begin to read verse number 13, and I begin to think about Paul. I begin to think about Paul penning these words, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I came long enough to tell you this morning, just long enough to somehow encourage you that God did not save you to defeat you. God did not save you for you to live a life of defeat. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, but thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yet in the same regard, life is full, as I've already said, with ups and downs. And there's not a person in this room that don't know the feeling of defeat. But can I submit unto you today that God has not sent us here, even in this world, for us to live a life of defeat. God has sent you and I here today to live a life of victory, if you will. May I submit unto you today, as the Holy Ghost took my pen and began to write upon the pages of my notebook, he said that he is not sending us today to be defeated, but God has called us to victory. But today you and I are not serving a defeated Jesus. Amen. Even though Satan, my friend, is on his last leg, Satan is doing everything to go about as a seeking, as he goes about as a roaring lion to see who he may devour. And may I submit unto you that God did not save you for you to die in your defeat. Can I get a witness in the house today? Your freedom from sin, my friend, is your choice today. Your freedom from sin today is your choice today. The Bible said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Christ Jesus died for your victory, and Jesus died so that you and I would not have to live a defeated life, if you will. The Bible says, in whom the Son has set free is free indeed. But I must submit unto you here today that Jesus was tempted and Jesus was attacked in the wilderness. And my friend, we will never live on this side of eternity without the devil doing everything he can to defeat you. But you and I, my friend, we have accepted defeat too easy. Are you with me today? We have accepted Satan's defeat over our life too easy today. Verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. God has made you victorious. God is a way maker. God is a miracle worker. God is still the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is still the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, the last. And it's time for the church to adjust. It's time for the church to understand that we are not a defeated foe. Now, I didn't know if there was even a term that I'm going to talk about in just a little bit. But the term that Again, I don't even know if I'd ever heard this term. So I looked it up and I thought, wow, I really didn't know this. So there's a term, there is a definition, there is a word that defines a person. And this person is known as a defeatist. Anybody ever heard that term? A defeatist. A person who is a defeatist is this. A person who expects or is excessively ready to accept failure. I've never looked that word up in 60 years of my life. A person who is readily or excessively ready to accept failure. Why don't you and I rise up in the name of Jesus today, draw back our fist, if you will, and give the devil a black eye today? My God, it is not God's will for you to sit around and accept defeat in your spiritual life. I'm not going to do it. My God, I've been through the valley of the shadow of death. But God's had to raise me up many times. I've had to square my shoulders. I've had to grab myself by my own shoelaces and say, not today, devil. I may deal with challenges every day, Sandra. But it's a mindset. It is a mindset not to allow the enemy to get you to the point that you understand or you accept that you're defeated before you even start the game. We got to look at this a little deeper because it goes on to say having a defeatist attitude. Woo! Having a defeatist attitude is one who has given up to defeat before you've ever even gotten started. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. I see that too much in the church today. I see that in the church today. I look into the empty eyes of people too often as if, Brother Russell, we don't have a hope, that we don't have any victory. And we walk around with our lip dragging the ground, not literally, but emotionally and in the spiritual mindset that we're defeated, that we're never going to get beyond where we're at right now. But if God be for me, then who can be against me? My God, if God is for you, who can be or what can be against you? We've got to get an overcomer's attitude. We've got to understand that the devil is always going to be the devil, but God is always going to be God. God is not a defeated foe. God is not a dainty old man with a long beard sitting up on a throne somewhere, wiggling his fingers together in worry, wondering about how all this is going to work out. I'm going to tell you something, friend. He's already got it all worked out. I'm not waiting on God. God's waiting on you. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. You say, preacher, I ain't seen you like this in a while. I ain't been like this in a while. I think we could run through the wall and take over a few troops this morning. I'm tired of living defeated. I'm tired of it. I'm sick and tired of the anguish of my mind every day. The anguish of my heart every day. Wondering how I'm going to get through another day. And I'm going to be real with you today. Waiting on the darkness of night to come so that I can squash the pain of my mind and my mental anguish so I can go to sleep and I don't have to deal with no more mental anguish. You say, well, preacher, you've been living in my world. I've been living in that world for 35 years or more because you can't never get any rest. Because the enemy of your soul, my God have mercy, the enemy of your soul is going to do everything he can do. I'm going to deal with this a little bit more tonight, but I will say this. The Bible says that you and I are to have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. If you walked in this room this morning, held captive in your mind, God wants to free you. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I want somebody to tell the devil to go back to hell where he come from this morning and put on your robe of righteousness, if you will, and shout the victory over who you know you are in Jesus today. We belong to Jesus today. I don't belong to this world. I don't belong to the things of this world. And the devil is still a liar. And I'm sick and tired of the devil defeating the church all the time. I'm tired of the devil defeating me. Because I was not created to be defeated. Come on, church. I was not created to be defeated. I want you to get that in your heart today. I will not accept defeat. God has made me more than a conqueror. I am a mighty force in the face of hell. Come on, somebody. Oh, God, today, Jesus, when you think about this thing called a defeatist, a defeatist is an attitude, or having an attitude is one who has given up to defeat before you've even got started. The runner who is convinced he's going to lose the race, that he doesn't even bother to go to the starting line. The runner that is convinced that he is going to lose the race. That's why some of you are not trying to go anywhere spiritually no more. Because you feel like you're already defeated and you'll never get beyond where you've always been. I'm going to tell you something, friend. Every time you think you've exhausted God, every time you think you've got everything that God has for you, as Sherry and I learned a long time ago, you know what God does? He flips the page, friend. I need to tell somebody in this room, there's a brand new morning waiting on you. When you get ready to experience a new thing with God, when you get ready to experience a new thing with God, God's going to flip the script and God's going to take you to a new destiny. God's going to take you to a new place. And it's only when you understand that you are not defeated. You are not defeated today. You're not defeated. You say, well, preacher, I just don't feel good today. Walk by faith and not by sight. There ain't none of us really feel like it. But I'm just going to go ahead and say it. You need to get your feelings, and I have to keep my feelings, Brother Larry, under subjection to the Holy Spirit. And I've got to know in whom I have believed. When we think about this whole concept of defeatism, I think about some of the things that I believe that God spoke to my heart. Do you want to know something that will change your life forever? The ideal is that you must come to the point in your life that you are ready for change. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how long you've been in the church. Our problem is we get settled into a comfort zone. We ought to be having ushers find seating in this building. Instead of us dragging in here, oh God, time for church again. We ought to be busting the doors down. Woo! Hallelujah! I get to go worship my Savior. I get to go be with the saints of God. I get to go fellowship with the believers. I can't wait to get back to church. I just can't wait to get back into God's presence. And that's spiritually. Now, I'm not making fun of nobody. I'm talking about spiritually. This is how you feel. Beat down. Wallowed down, hopeless, helpless, defeated, can't hardly put one foot in front of the other spiritually. And then we confess to ourselves, we're the church of the living God. And the devil is afraid of us, and we're going to stomp the devil's head. No, you ain't. No, you ain't. You're just trying to keep the devil away from you. You're just trying to do a little bit of enough to keep the devil off of you. Ooh, I got to take a break. If not, I'm going to fall apart right here in front of God, because I know I'm telling the truth today. I'm so sick of the devil. I'm so sick of him. Brother Maynard, I'm so sick of the devil telling me I'm a nobody. I'm so sick of the devil defeating the church. I'm so sick of the devil making you and I believe, oh, if you go to another church, you're going to get if you go to another church, it's going to be different over there. You're going to get your blessing when you get there, praise God. No, you're not. I hate the devil. Oh. You're going to get your victory when you quit accepting defeat. When you get to the point that you quit listening to the lie of the devil. Nobody loves me. Nobody talks to me. Nobody this. Nobody. It ain't about nobody.
It's about Jesus.
It's about you getting in a relationship with a loving, caring Savior that died on Calvary, that's walking up and down the aisles of this room right now looking for somebody that He can lay a fresh anointing upon. I can do all things. Say that with me. I can do all things through Christ. I can. You got to get to the point that you have an attitude. You can. You can live in victory. You can through Him. You can have a better life. You can have a better relationship. You can have a better marriage. You can have a better relationship with your family and your kids and your spouse. And it's like the story I heard one time, and I don't want to meddle too much right here or I'll lose it, but I don't want to lose it. It's like the old hound dog that sat at the back door of the man's house. Every day he was a drunkard. Every day he came in, kicked that old hound dog out from in front of the back door. And one day the man came in contact with Jesus, and he got saved, and he got his heart right with God. He quit drinking. He threw down the bottle, if you will, and he walked back into his house, the same hound dog, same back porch, same door. Old man walked in the back door of the house. He looked at the hound dog, and he said, "Excuse me, sir." And he walked around the hound dog. And sometimes, my friend, God needs to change our perspective. Let me get back up here for a while. Let me get back up here. When we change our mindset, we can change our life. When you move beyond defeatism, you must hate, and I use that word intentional, and I use that word on purpose. It's not an accident, but I wrote that down. My God. You must hate. Are you with me today? You must hate. You must really, really, really hate the things and abhor, if you will, detest, if you will, the things that God hates. I get sick and tired about these little mamsy-pamsy conversations about preachers and others that talks about, well, can I drink a little here? Can I social drink a little here? Or can I smoke a little here? Can I have my little toddy here? I'm going to tell you something, friend. When you get tired of defeatism and you quit using those things as a crutch to paralyze yourself emotionally, if you will, and you get in touch with the man from Galilee, my friend, and he transforms your life into the new creature that God wants you to be, you will never be the same, and you'll never be wanting another little toddy. I'm not mad. I promise I'm not mad. I ain't mad at nobody. I ain't been talking to nobody. I'm not upset at nobody. But God can change your life. And you've got to get to the place that you hate the things that God hates. I mean, walk away from it. Walk away. Somebody said, "I'll lose friends." They're not your friends. They may be an acquaintance, but they're not your friend. Anybody that would ever do anything to you that would be contrary to the Word of God and the love of God is not your friend. They are people that you need to cut ties with and get yourself away from. You say they're family. Who cares? Live for Jesus. Next thing. A life that doesn't know if it wants a life of bondage or a life of freedom. I guess in some ways you could call that kind of a fence straddler. You want to go to heaven, but you don't want to live right. You want to go to heaven, but you don't want to talk right. You want to go to heaven, but you don't want to let go of the things of this world that's keeping you in bondage. And you will be a miserable person. You will be an absolute miserable person. The most miserable person that I believe I know is a person that knows how to live in freedom, but they choose to live in sin. I know people like that. You do too. Because the grip of sin, Sandra, has got such a grip on them. Can I tell you the only thing that's going to break that sin bondage over your life is the blood of Jesus Christ and Jesus Himself. If you could do it, and don't get mad at the preacher, and I'm not going to get in detail on it. I'm not going to get in real deep detail on it. But if a few steps would do it, we would be able to do it within the secular ways of man. But a few steps by itself won't do it. You've got to have a supernatural touch over your life. Let me go on. Sin will take you further than you're willing to go, cost you more than you're willing to pay, and keep you longer than you're willing to stay. Say that again, preacher. I think I will. When you think about sin today and the defeat that you've accepted in your life today, sin will take you further than you're willing to go. I'm going to go ahead and say it. I might as well make hell mad at me while I'm here this morning. I was with Sherry last night. I knew I was going to say this. When that happened last, I knew I'd bring it in. No. We were at this Walmart store yesterday, and about five youngins, four or five little gum, one guy and about four girls, or one guy and three girls. Probably about 12, 13-year-old. Very young. We were in the ladies' department because I was with my lady, and she was looking for something for a lady. And I was standing there, and these kids come down the aisle, and one of them let out a big curse word and looked at me and said, one of them said, sorry, he's got a bad mouth. I said, but you can come to Sunday school. Just that quick. And then the young man said, I don't go to church. I don't believe in God. I said, one day you will. And lo and behold, when we left the woman's store, we went to the woman's department, we went to the food department, and lo and behold, when we got to the register, who was there? Louise, you know what I told him? I said, you can still come to Sunday school.
That's right. Amen.
He said, where at? I said, Thomasville Church of God. I had on my Kingdom Man shirt last night. He said, I'll look you up. Our kids today, and I thought about Brother Chris. He's over there with them right now. I told Sherry, I said, and this is what Chris Hewitt has to deal with our kids today, trying to get kids in church. And the enemy has bombarded their mind and destroyed their mind. And I need to come by just long enough to tell you and who's in this room today, don't accept spiritual defeat. Jody, come on. I ain't done. I'll pick back up later. But I'm going to tell you a few things. I could preach an hour this morning very easily. But I want you to understand this. This Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Here's the thing. We're going to talk more about this tonight. I hope you're not defeated at 6 o'clock tonight and decide not to come back to God's house over a bowl of Cheerios and NFL. Might as well speak the truth and shame the devil. Come on. But these folks drive over an hour to get here. I understand that. I understand. They drive way, 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 a long way to get here. I understand. How far? Iron 10 minutes? Iron 15? Yeah, I knew it was. It's a long way. Other side of Statesville to come over here. It's a long way. I'll leave all that alone right now. Some people won't drive 5 minutes, but they'll drive an hour. Come on, JR. Here we are again. I want you to understand this. You're not a worm. You're not a worm. Look at your neighbor and say, you're not a worm. You're not a weasel. Come on now, you're not a weasel. Are you with me today? You're not a coward. Why do we accept this defeatism? Why do we accept it? Why do we allow God? Why don't we allow God to rise up in us and understand that we're a child of God? You know, I've told you the truth this morning the best I knew how. And can I tell you today, as a child of God, as a spirit-filled child of God, are you ready for this? Ask your neighbor, are you ready? Are you ready? As a child of God, you're not a defeated Christian. You're not a defeated Christian. You're a mighty force, filled with Holy Spirit power. You're a mighty force, filled with Holy Spirit power, for the purpose of glorifying God and living in victory to the glory of God. And my friend, we must get to the point that we know our position in Christ Jesus. And when the devil comes in, we've got to know that we can stand in victory, declaring God's blessings over your life, standing on the word, and declaring victory over your life. And I believe, again, the child of God that claims value. Fonda Dunn, the song, The Alabaster Box. If you go back in the book of Luke, I believe it is, Luke chapter 7 and verse 39. After she had broken up her worship, I'm not going to get into the detail of that right now, I'll get into it maybe later. But she broke up, opened that box of her worship. And that aroma filled the place. The scoffers didn't understand. Maybe $20,000 worth of precious ointment. A year's wage. She broke open her worship. The world at large will not understand your worship. The world at large will not understand your brokenness. Can I tell you something? Pride cometh before a fall, and a haughty spirit before destruction. And the only way that God can use any of us that's in this room is through our brokenness. Sometimes God has to break you before He can use you. Sometimes we don't understand the process. Sometimes we don't understand the things we're going through. But my friend, the Bible says that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those that are called according to His purpose. I'm going to get into it tonight. Jesus was led 40 days. He had hungered. And 40 days Jesus was there. 40 days Jesus was there in the wilderness. And the Bible said that the Spirit of God led Him into the wilderness. I'm going to talk about that purpose tonight for just a little bit. She broke open that alabaster box, and everything that was on the inside of that alabaster box, the fragrance, the aroma began to fill the air. And everybody said, why such a waste? This could have been given to the poor. They didn't care nothing about the poor. They were just greedy. They just didn't get it. But she did. She did. If God's ever brought somebody like Russell, I'll use brother Russell, Bob and Charlotte and some of the others I know that's been through open heart surgery. He knows why he praises God. These people that's ever been laid on the table with you getting ready to have your chest cut open and you don't know what's going down after that. When you wake up on the other side and your eyes pop open and you see a loved one standing around your bed, you got a whole lot to thank God for, don't you, Bob? I don't know everybody that's been through things like that. I have no idea. But you got to know why you broke open your box. You didn't break your box in worship for you to live a defeated life. The Bible said, why is Jesus hanging out with her? Because the Bible said she's just an old sinner. We all have been old sinners. That's the whole point of grace. Yet, while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for us. Not of righteous, not of anything. I'm getting into tonight. I'm sorry, but he said, come now, let us reason together over in Isaiah chapter 1. Though your sins be as scarlet. Can I tell you that everybody in this room, at one time in your life, you were a sinner that needed a Savior. And here's the nice thing about this as I wrap this up. It's not merited by your own goodness. It's not merited by your pedigree or by your social status or your economical status. I'm so glad the Bible still says that whosoever will, let him call upon the name of the Lord and they shall be saved. God did not put you on this earth for you to live a defeated life in Him. Sherry knows and you know, and we've seen so many people, their lives are so filled with turmoil. Their lives are so filled and plagued with problems after problem after problem after problem. Hey, my friend, getting saved is not a free ticket to a life that's without problems. But it's guaranteed that you no longer have to walk through life by yourself. God did not keep them from the fire, but He just jumped in the fire with them. Come on, somebody. It's going through life knowing that I'm not defeated. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. I've got more on this tonight. More on it tonight. But I want you to stand with me right now. I know when I know. And I know when God burdens my heart over something. And I know right now that in this room, there are people, spiritually speaking, you've had a baseball bat upside your head by the devil. And you've been beat down. And you've been bombarded, and you've been to the point that you've said to yourself, I just don't know how much more I can take. Can I see your hand? I've been there. I'm not going to lie. I've been there. And you've asked yourself, God, when is it going to end? When? Or how? How? Brother Joe, that was with us last week, he's in Peru this weekend. He sang the Swagger song, and I've sung it all week long. I got it in my heart and I've got it in my mind. He sang that song. He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. Friend, when you and I get tired of everything else that's keeping us defeated, Jesus will tell you and He will tell me, I was there for you the whole time. And all you had to do is call on my name. I want you to come this way and we're going to pray together before we leave this house. You say, I don't want to come by myself. You're not by yourself. I'm standing here with you. I'm standing right here with you. I've been to those places in my life that I said those things. God, how much longer? How much more? God, I don't know how much more I can take. Lord, you're going to have to come on the scene. You're going to have to come on. You're going to have to rescue me, God. And you know what, my friend? Come on tight. Come on tight if you can. And I just want you to lay your hand on the person next to you, if you can do that respectfully. And I want us to pray ye one for another. Come tight. Come on in tight if you can. Those of you that stand in